We're grateful that Max and Eve brought their parents to church this morning. That was really sweet. So, last week we started looking at the teaching of Jesus out of Matthew, and this morning I want to continue with that. Last week we looked at things to love, and this morning I want to look at things to worry about. And so, because we talk about worry a lot, we hear about it, but I thought it might be good for us to look at the dictionary definition of worry. And so here it is. Worry is to strangle or to choke, to subject to persistent or nagging attention or effort. It implies an incessant goading or attacking that drives one to desperation, to disturb one's composure or peace of mind by intrusion, interference, or petty attacks, to persecute with burdensome commands that exhaust one's nervous or mental power. After Jesus read the above entry in Webster's, he was prompted to say, "Don't do that. It sounds really yucky." It's my paraphrase. He proceeded to give the argument for going to the Father with all worry-prone subjects. Familiar, straightforward instructions, but for many, too many, too long, it's been an energy-sapping distraction. And that got changed, but apparently the save didn't happen, and so there it is. So I want to look at this Matthew passage, 6:25 through 34 this morning, but with a different take on it. I think what we're seeing in this passage is Jesus with a great sense of humor. And he's not making fun, but he's talking to the disciples and the others who are listening with a little bit of lighthearted sense of, you know, hey guys, don't worry, it really sounds yucky. And I think we look at this passage sometimes with a real heaviness, and you know, we bring in the King James weighty English, and it makes it sound like, you know, Jesus is the stern, arguable, grouchy old guy. And I think really what we see here is Jesus being very lighthearted and saying, why would you bother worrying, you know? I mean, I think his approach would be more like the song, you know, don't worry, be happy. If some of you remember that crazy song. So I think Jesus would do that this morning. So I want us to just look through some of these verses and take a look at what Jesus is saying and why he's saying it. So first of all, let's recognize the first one, 1A, the Father's provision, verses 25 and 26. Jesus says, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They don't sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Look at this. Look at this almost silly little example Jesus is giving. You know, I mean, this is serious stuff, right? Worrying about what we're going to eat. I mean, I think it's pretty much settled this morning. We know what we're going to eat. We can smell it already. But, I mean, we spend a lot of time working and being concerned about that and the taking care of all the aspects of life here. And so Jesus is just saying, don't do that. Don't spend time worrying about all those things. And so he gives this example. I mean, here are adults sitting here, and he goes, look at the birds of the air. He's like, seriously, Jesus, we're talking about worrying here. This is a really heavy duty thing. You know, it causes us heart attacks and strokes and ulcers and all the rest. And now you're talking about the birds of the air? Yes, Jesus is talking about the birds of the air because he thinks our silly tendency to worry is just that. It's just silly. Like, why would you do that? It's the outcome is always awful. And it doesn't change anything. So, you know, what a waste of time. And so, you know, someone said it's like trying to teach a pig to, don't try to teach a pig to sing. It wastes your time and it annoys the pig. So, you know, and I think Jesus is kind of like that. Just don't worry, because it really is a waste of time. And so he just uses this example. Is the body not more important than the clothes, and life more important than food? And so then he goes straight into what is most important, and then he goes straight into this example about the birds of the air who are free to go around, and you know they find food pretty much everywhere. There is abundance of food. And Jesus says, you know, if your heavenly Father looks after these little the sparrows and the tiny little birds that are just everywhere, do you not think you have more value to the Father and you have more of his attention, that he will take care of you than he does the birds even? And, you know, so it's almost a silly little thing, and it's like, you know, we expect it to be weighty. We expect it to be serious business that Jesus is entering in here as he talks to us about worry and how he gives us spiritual underpinnings to really make sure that we get this correct, and we know the theology of worry and what subjects are good to worry about and what subjects are, you know, secondary about worrying. And he basically dismisses the whole thing. He says, just don't do it. Don't do it. Just think about the birds. How worried do birds look? And they're always provided for. And then verse 27, which is the next thing to recognize, the futility of worrying. And so verse 27, now this is, I think this is really hilarious. Jesus says, who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? He's almost poking fun. It's like, do you think that you could even produce something like an extra 60 minutes tacked on to the end of your life by worrying? You know, and I think there are some people probably who are listening to Jesus who are a little red in the face at this point, because they really engage on a regular basis in this spiritual activity of worry. And then Jesus is just kind of blowing them out of the water and saying, well, it's totally useless. I mean, you can't even add an hour to your life. Now, who engages in worrying over things, thinking they're going to add an hour to their life? Do you think anybody in the audience that Jesus was talking to was really thinking that? That by worrying, I'm going to extend my life? Of course not. This is where I think it's just kind of a ridiculous thing that Jesus points out. It's like, you know, what possible outcome could there be from worrying? And so he says, you can't even add a single hour to your life. If that was the insane direction you were thinking, like, I'm going to do this because the more I worry, the longer I'll live. Well, I guess the more you worry, you would rather not live any longer. But Jesus is saying it's ridiculous, it's foolish. The birds are taken care of by your heavenly Father. They're everywhere. They always have what they need. And worrying is just a total waste of time. And I think he's having fun with this. And I think he's having fun watching the confusion on the faces of his disciples, because they're just like, oh. I never worry. You know, I can see them all looking at each other. Do you worry? No. I'd never worry. I knew it's useless. I would never do that. Number two, accenting God's generosity, verses 28 through 32. Jesus keeps going and he says, and why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field, see how ridiculous this gets? See how the lilies of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet, I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? One of Jesus' expressions. So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? And then he says, for the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. What's Jesus doing? He's saying, look, you guys, there's abundant provision in my Father's love. And this activity of being concerned about all these things of your life and provision and all of these things that are already taken care of by the Father, you're acting really like the pagans who have never met your Father. And so I guess it would be similar to, you know, our shining examples this morning, our twins who are here, that they would spend their whole night worrying about where their next meal would come from. Now, do Max and Eve have anything to worry about where their next meal is coming from? What do y'all think? I'm thinking probably not. Or, you know, where is their next designer costume going to come from? We may have to go naked because nobody is ever providing us with anything. You know, it'd be ridiculous, wouldn't it? I mean, little children don't, in our society especially, really don't have to worry too much about what they're going to wear and what they're going to eat, because there's plenty, and they look like they're well taken care of to me. And so Jesus is saying the same thing to the disciples and to the others around. It's like, you know, your heavenly Father knows everything you need. And if he knows you need it, like a good father, is he going to provide it, or is he going to go, good luck finding it? I know you're hungry, so good luck scrounging something. No. Parents will do whatever they can, whatever is necessary, even at their own expense, often, if that's necessary, to make sure that the children have everything that is needed. Certainly that was the way it was in our house, and as I got to be an adult, I realized, you know, often during my childhood, our family didn't have a whole lot. But I was certainly not aware of that, because we were all taken care of as kids, and so if there was ever a shortage, it certainly never made it our way. If anyone went without, it'd always be my parents. And so Jesus is looking at the disciples and just going, you know, your heavenly Father is extremely, extremely, abundantly generous. And so you don't need to be like the pagans running all over the place and constantly concerned about how you're going to make provision for your lives. And so he uses that silly example, I think, of the lilies of the field. He says, they don't sow or spin. Now, well, of course they don't. They're flowers. I mean, they just grow naturally. But Jesus is using this expression for them, and he says, and so if your heavenly Father clothes them in this kind of way, and, you know, he's using this wonderful imagery, but, you know, kind of having fun with them. You know, it's like, okay, your heavenly Father goes to such great depths that he clothes the flowers of the field. I mean, can you just picture God coming down and dressing every flower, every wildflower in every field? If God the Father cares that much, even about the flowers, that they would be more beautiful than even Solomon in all his splendor. And, I mean, how many of us have, of course, seen fields filled with wildflowers, and it's just been a jaw-dropping experience. My mother-in-law loved flowers and loved fields of flowers, wildflowers. And so when you're on vacation, when we were on vacation with Sue's parents, the most often heard expression was, "Stop the car!" And you think there was a major emergency. Well, there was. There was a perfect photo op in a field filled with poppies or sunflowers or whatever was in the field that she had to get a picture of. And so they have photo albums filled with nothing but flowers. We have no idea where those flowers are or even sometimes what the flowers are. But there are tons and tons of pictures of flowers because they're beautiful. And if you notice every once in a while, you know, some of the detail in some of these flowers. Some of you may remember before we moved into this building 13 years ago, we were in a warehouse. And the warehouse space was kind of finished off to a certain degree before we got flooded out of there. And one Sunday, we came in, and on the corner of the platform, there must have been a little crack in the wall. And actually, a little purple flower was growing inside the wall up by the platform. And we were all like, wow, now that is one persevering little flower. It's growing on the inside of this building. And so none of us really had the heart to take it out of there because it survived for quite a long time. But sometimes they're just the tiniest little flowers have the greatest detail. And you, I don't know if you've ever seen little tiny wildflowers, but they're just amazing. And so God looks after those, and he cares that they look beautiful, even if hardly anyone ever sees them. He just takes great delight in providing for them. And so Jesus is kind of playing with his disciples and the rest of the folks who are listening and going, in my estimation, I think Jesus is saying, it's just total silliness that you would spend time worrying about anything that has to do with provision for your life. So first he uses the example of the birds, and now he uses the examples of the flowers. And if they didn't get it, he throws in, that's what the pagans do, you guys. They're always worried. They're always fretting. They're always rubbing their hands together and going, oh no, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? And Jesus goes, your Heavenly Father knows every detail of every need that you ever have, and he loves to make provision. And so I just see fun here. And then, of course, the verse number 3, prioritizing the kingdom, verse 33, this is probably the one verse out of Matthew 6:33 that we've all heard many times. Jesus says, don't run after all these things like the pagans. He says, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. So Jesus gives us the key for how to live. Whatever it is we're worried about, because he's covered the whole gamut from A through Z, or A through Z if you're in Canada. Jesus would say, your Heavenly Father has made all provision for every need you will ever need, now and forever. And so here's what you need to do in order to live. Seek first the kingdom. Make the kingdom a priority in your life. And his righteousness, right standing with the Father. Make that a priority in the way you live, in the way you make decisions, in the things that you get involved in and the things you refuse to get involved in. Do that, and all these other things that you've been worried about up until now will just get taken care of. The Father will just provide that for you as you do these other things. Oh, you know, and some people would just, I don't know, I've got to worry. If I don't worry about it, it'll never happen. If I don't do it, it will never happen. Jesus saying, well, then you haven't really understood the generosity of your Father, because he will make provision. And so we see the Father's provision, Jesus says, as we decide to make his kingdom a priority. Now, what does it mean to make God's kingdom a priority? To live a life with the kingdom first. What are some kingdom activities? And we're going to be looking at this in the Engage study coming up next month. That's going to be meeting on Wednesday evenings at the McDonald's. But things that remind us of the Father. Sunday morning, one of the key things that happens on a Sunday morning is we focus on the Father and who he is and what he brings us in a unique way. My guess is most of us don't focus in on the Father during the week quite like we do on Sunday morning when we come together as a family. So the more we think about the Father, the more we look into his word, what he's spoken to us is a great way for us to be reminded of the power of the kingdom. How much more the kingdom, Jesus' presence and the power of God present amongst us is real. The more we focus on that, the less the alarming news of the world freaks us out, because we recognize that the kingdom is big. Just saw a sign this week that says, don't tell God you have big problems. Tell your problems you have a big God. You know, it's a focus thing, isn't it? It's a perspective thing. And so we focus in. We spend time in prayer. Prayer is a humbling thing, because we settled in and we come to the Father, we rejoice in him, we love his presence, we learn how to love his presence. We spend time in worship. You know, worship, as we sang this morning, whether we sing on key or not is totally irrelevant, but as we join in as a group, as a family, and we sing to the Father, we sing it back to him, these words that have been written, this beautiful music, gives expression to the things that are in our hearts that we'd never find words for, but we think kingdom thoughts at that point. And so we spend time doing those things in fellowship with one another, in talking about Jesus, in talking about the things that God is speaking to us. Not always talking about the trash that's going on in the world, because there's plenty of trash, but the trash can take care of itself. What we need to do is, I think we need to focus on and prioritize what Jesus' kingdom is, and then all the things that we've been concerned about and stressed over and making ourselves sick over, Jesus says, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given you as well. And then finally, number four this morning, verse 34, addressing our inner control freak. Probably no society in the world is filled with more control freaks than the Western society. And probably North America takes the cake. And of North America, probably United States even wins over Canada, because we're kind of a laid-back group. But we're still Western. And so we love to be individually in command of everything. And when it doesn't go our way, and when something happens that we weren't consulted on that we think is of utmost priority, and someone has made a decision that we're not happy with, what is our reaction? Oh, that's no problem. Or it's like, what? You what? You didn't ask me, you didn't tell me, you didn't consult me, what? You know, and one of the ways of really looking at our obsession is, how often do we join committees? How effective are committees often? How frustrating is it to be on a committee and there's more bickering and arguing and fighting, and it's like, oh, please. I've been involved in churches where they're run by committees. Do you know what gets done in churches that are run by committees? Nothing. It's terrible. And so Jesus is saying we need to address that inner control freak that we all have to one degree or another. And he addresses it this way in verse 34. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow. For tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Jesus, you have to be seriously kidding here. Of course I have to worry about tomorrow. Of course I have to be in charge. I have to make sure that people know that I'm in charge. I direct this thing. I'm the one who makes the decision how this works. Don't worry about tomorrow. How could I possibly live? How can I possibly not be concerned about every detail of the things that are happening tomorrow? And Jesus just says, tomorrow will worry about itself. It's so cavalier the way he says it. You know, don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow, worry about itself. You know, hey. Besides that, as we know, tomorrow never comes. By the time tomorrow finally gets here, it's today, and then tomorrow is 24 hours away. And it's always this cycle. But he says, each day has enough trouble of its own. Now, we would all say amen to that, right? Each day is enough trouble of its own. If we get the things done that we need to get done today, we're in good shape. And so letting our hands off the controls and not deciding that it's got to happen my way or else is a very freeing experience. And so Jesus is reminding us over and over through these verses, these nine verses, that the Father's provision is perfect. It's super abundant beyond all that you can ever ask or think. He is so detail-oriented, he would blow you away. Right down to the birds of the air and the seeds they need and the flowers of the field, the clothes that they wear. Worrying is totally useless, Jesus says. So come to the Father. Focus on the kingdom. Because in the kingdom, you'll be aware of the Father's provision. You'll be aware of how much he loves you. And when you really mess up and you've really made a mess of things, how he will love you and call you back to his heart. You know, of course, we use this example often. We talk about the prodigal son, but we talked late last year about the prodigal father, because prodigal just means too much, and the father's love was too much. And so even when the son decided to come back smelling like a pig pen and all the rest, and in his filth and all the rest of the stuff he had done to embarrass his father. And the father, in the story that Jesus tells, what does he do? He runs to the Son, disgraces himself, throws off all sense of propriety, and runs to his Son to welcome him home in this overwhelming display of love. Generous, overly generous, embarrassingly generous love. And then Jesus says, we just need to chill out. You know, on those areas where we're control freaks and it's got to happen my way or else, don't worry about it. Because the universe does not turn on you, does not spin around you necessarily. Probably not. But your Heavenly Father takes care of all of it. So we can be just like children. We can be relaxed, confident that everything is going to be provided for us, and we don't have to worry about it. We can just be as relaxed and as happy because our Heavenly Father takes care of us. So very simple words of Jesus, very lighthearted, I think, in his approach to his disciples. But the takeaway is, I have to remind myself when I start to spin up over things, when I start to sound worried, when I start to sound like I'm barking orders in order to bring everything back into control. Because for some who are most worried, making their lives ordered is kind of like herding cats. And the more you push, the more it gets out of control. And so Jesus is saying to his disciples, saying to us, what are the things to worry about? He's pretty much erased the list. He's just, the board was full when the disciples came, and the more Jesus talked, the more he just erased the list of things to worry about. And then he just said, just trust your Father. Prioritize what is the kingdom and his righteousness, and all the things you've been worrying about will just be added to you. Let's pray this morning. So, Father, we come this morning and we're aware that we worry about things and we are concerned about things and we do waste a lot of emotional energy trying to make things work and hoping and fretting and sometimes manipulating and sometimes using anger or whatever we think is going to be necessary to make something work. And we just so appreciate your calling us on that and just saying, if we would just surrender this need and recognize that everything that we have desired has been taken care of and will be taken care of in the abundant provision of our Heavenly Father. So these are good words, and Father, we're grateful that you've shown us in this kind of detail about how much you love us and how much our lives are important to you in the most minute detail. So whatever it is that we are currently worrying about, Father, would you give us grace to see those things clutched in our hands, like, this has got to work out, this has to happen, this needs to change, that person needs to change, this money needs to come in, whatever we worry about. And by faith, Father, could we open our hands up and lift those things to you this morning? Could you give us the joy of knowing the release of those things into your presence? The joy of knowing that these things are heavy burdens, crushing burdens sometimes. And we can really give them to you. We can trust you that you will take care of those things. Whether it's finances or health or relationships or whatever other issues come up, you've basically covered them here. And so we think of the carefree nature of birds and just the simple, awesome beauty of wildflowers. And Jesus, you said that they're all taken care of by your Father, and we are of much greater value. So how much more you delight to make provision for us. So, Father, once we've given it to you, could you also grace us to not grasp it back again? on our way out the door and saying, okay, well, that was a nice exercise that Don forced us into, but I really do need to take care of this on my own. And help us to see how silly we really are when we worry and fret over things like that. So, Father, we don't want to. We want to be free of that. We want to have lives that focus on your kingdom and your provision and what you're doing. We want to focus and center there and stay there and know how much you love us. So thank you for your grace this morning, Father, as we've worshiped you and we've sung about your power and your majesty and your beauty and your provision. Would you free our hearts this morning? If you've got some that are just burdened with worry and you know that it's been out of control, and you'd just like us to agree together that worry is useless, and we really want to, we're just asking for grace. If you'd just like to stand this morning and we'll agree together. Let's give this thing to the Father, because we can't do it. Father, thank you. Holy Spirit, would you come? By your grace, would you invade these areas that are maybe really of long standing, and these things that grip us and lie to us and saying, it's only by my effort these things are ever going to get changed and set us free. Would you give us wings to move beyond that? Father, we want to be free. We want to just know your grace and your joy in the wide open spaces of trusting you with these things. Father, we bless you this morning because you have been good to us. We want to rehearse all the things that you have done to get us to this place. The many faithfulnesses that we've experienced at your hand. The many closed doors that have finally opened. And where there was no way, ways have opened up for us. And those we love, and those are in our circumstances. So pour in your grace this morning. Open our hearts up to receive the abundance of what you have. Could it be said of us that we are so filled with faith in our Father that nothing touches our worry button? Could the world see, Father, that we are those who have received so much from you? And we're so free in you. So we bless you for this work you're doing in our hearts this morning. Father, could these words find a place in our spirits? Could your gentle, teasing rebuke about worry settle into our hearts? And could we have the freedom to move out from this place, set free by the power and the presence of the kingdom of God in our midst? And we will praise you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. I guess just in a few minutes, whatever it takes to collect kids from Angela back in the classroom and set the rest of the things out. We've made it through the whole morning without tripping a breaker, I think. So that's been amazing. And probably in the next 10 minutes or so, we should be ready to sit down and have something to eat. So God bless you.